Blog Talk Radio.
It's going down for real.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, it's the often imitated, never duplicated, love to be calculated, king of auto being, sensation of innovation, the leader of the Bruins Nation is here, me as always, Mike here, with a man I have not chatted with on a podcast in well over 6 months, a man whose mohawk has not only gradually in size increased, but a man whose cardio went over and above 60 miles last month. I'm here with a man who needs no introduction, but will get the grandest introduction that God has ever placed upon him. A man who has as many aces as he does BSA championships. A man whose name is personified with winning BSA championships. Mr. Travis Hayes, welcome back to Pod Damn It with me, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do that introduction again. But Travis, I can see his phone number on the line. Unfortunately, he's not talking. I'm not quite sure why. But he's on the board. So we'll get Travis on. You guys can all tell him that I did an absolutely amazing job introducing him. Either way, this is BSA Pod Damn It, number 120. That's right, we've been doing this for a little bit of a long time. It is me as introduced earlier, Mike, here, talking BSA Baseball with you. BSA Baseball with you guys, ladies and gentlemen. Let me go ahead and just thought, this is a horrible radio, I know, but let me go ahead and bring up the page again just in case I did something, which I don't think I did. Well, let's just go ahead and see. I'll reload it again. I don't know what happened. Travis should be calling right back in. Okay, so last edition, me and Kevin, you know, talked a little bit old school. I'm not one to go down the list or read statistics, but I will get into some signings, some big news. We kind of talked about, Kevin and I got to briefly touch on what some of the biggest signings were. I wanted to get Travis's opinion because, like I said, he, you know, basically rebuilt his entire rotation, basically added not one, not two, not three, not four, but five aces. Scott Hill's in the bullpen. His ace last year is actually his number three starting pitcher now. So, I mean, or his ace last year is now his number five starting pitcher. So there's always an interesting dynamic when you can completely overturn and just completely change your franchise. All right, well, it says we're live here, folks. Sorry about that. Travis did tell me that he has about one bar, so we'll see if that changes. You know, I'm completely lost because I'm talking to myself and got all these questions for Travis. Okay, I was reading something, folks. We'll go ahead and get to some of the stuff I want to get to with Travis. We can circle back around once we're done. Me and Kevin mentioned that some of the biggest moves in the offseason were brought on by Travis's Hendersonville Hitmen. We did touch on it briefly. I did want to run down one more time, which with the signing of Aguilar, Perez, Martel, Emin, Pinella was his number two or three last year. He's number five. He has Mendez. Hill is his middle reliever, not even a closer. This is ridiculous. Scott Hill is just mentioned in game as a middle reliever, normal usage. I'm guessing this is to keep him away from his $17.5 million bonus next year. If they mess with what happens. That's not from Travis, so I don't care. Okay. I really would like Travis to call in right here. I'm absolutely waiting to ask him a couple questions, and I feel like I'm just teetering for the first 4 minutes. So, folks, I apologize for the beginning of the podcast because, you know, I'm absolutely sitting here talking about absolutely nothing. Let me text Travis really quick. You guys can hear me do it because I'm doing this. It's amazing at this. Okay. Anyways, BSA 120. I wanted to talk about last time some of the biggest signings. We had Albert Labelle, the Baffin Twins, and Hendersonville resigning all their players. We do know the financials are starting to weed themselves out right now. The financials have began to kind of, you know, get back to where they should be, not the crazy high prices that they were. I believe Pat, for me, at the beginning of the offseason, wanted something like 9 years, $24.5 million. Menez wanted the same thing for me last year. I don't really understand why some players want less than other players want, why some players demand for less than other players want, especially when the talent is similar, when the loyalty is similar, when the winning is similar. It is what it is. I guess we could talk about the new option rule that happened over the weekend. Since Kevin and I had the podcast, that would be in... Actually, I'm not even entirely sure what the new rule is, other than I was going to pissy fit over it because I didn't like, and I'll be completely honest, with people thinking it's necessarily an exploit. Now, I do know that I have nobody to re-sign. I've signed one player for all of, I think, $2 million this offseason. I don't plan on making any moves, really. But I just don't like the kind of culture that BSA became when we think someone's going to do something to exploit something. Surely, the player option could have been a team option. Sure. Most definitely it could have. I don't personally think with the money being similar, it's that big of a deal. That's just me. And again, I'm sure I'm in the minority. I'm positive I'm in the minority because a lot of people were up in arms, and not everybody, but a lot of people were disappointed with just the overall atmospheric approach to it. And Travis, if you're there right now, sir, I got to say, you missed, quite frankly, the greatest introduction BSA has ever had. And I've just been stuttering for 5 minutes. So welcome to the podcast with me, Travis. I was just quickly going over it. And folks, if I'll put in the email thread, skip the first couple of minutes after the introduction, because, Travis, I know you're not a big fan of re-listening to yourself, but you need to go back and listen to my introduction because it was capital A amazing.
I was on the line. I was on the line. I don't know why it didn't work. So it was such a great introduction. I just had to hang up. There was nothing I could follow. I couldn't follow that.
Did I make you all tingly?
Well, I got to pee real bad right now. I've been in the car, so yeah, we can go with that.
Excellent. I'll take credit for your tingliness. And Travis, I was quickly getting to this, and me and you were texting about this, about the options. I believe the text message went, Kingsman was awesome, 15 exclamation points, and then saw the email and was like, yada, yada, yada. And we kind of just talked about it a little bit. We talked about it for a little bit. Me and you, you know, you're normally around the same side with these things. We kind of have different opinions in regards to the options. You see it as an exploit. I kind of saw it as a just let people do what people are going to do. But I'm just wondering your entire opinion, because you didn't really respond to the email you initially set out. There was a lot of people's comments and contributions to the email. Josh basically said he's going to fix it. I mean, was that your whole thing? Like, you just wanted to see things become all team options? Was that really your point of view on the matter?
Well, first off, I need to apologize to Kevin because I had a typo, and it was one of those big typos. But, like, I said that his contract was, like, totally illegal, and that was supposed to be the word legal. And it's just like,
yeah,
back
because
in the day.
Then we got about 15 replies, people posting to Kevin, "You're cheating" comments. Which was funny.
It's not cheating. It's 100% within the rules, which, you know, if it's in the rules, that's fine. But we've made rules after rules after rules to try to negate that kind of trickery or cheating the player into fake years and fake money. Now, in the spirit of the game, just because you find another loophole, well, my hat's off for you being creative. And while it is legal, it's not... We're trying hard to get that out of the game. You shouldn't use it because it's legal when we're trying so hard to remove that aspect of it. Now, back in the day, when me and you started the team option to start with, I've always been open and said, yeah, I used it to lock up my 4 stars. And it was, and I told Gray this, and I told everybody this, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines and watch all the other teams lock up their stars because it's legal, just because of it's not in the fairness of the game. And that was in the beginning. Well, since then, we've made this will be our third rule adaptation to try to eliminate that. So, you know, the spirit of the game is what we're trying to protect, you know, in that.
Right.
And so, while it is legal under the Constitution, yeah, sure. But we're working hard to try to instill a sportsmanship that doesn't take advantage of stupid AI.
But my question would be whether it's a team option or whether it's a player option, is it not the same amount of money going to the player? I mean, I think people thought were the contracts were going to get crazy because there was no player option percentage rules.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think that was the general, the general gist of it.
Yeah, that was the export of it. Here's my opinion. Never in the history of the 12 seasons that we've been in PSA has anybody structured a contract with a team option and a player option. So to do it now is to solely do it as an export to fake players into fake years and fake money. It's not something that we've used in the past that we're trying to eradicate. It is something that's totally started right now to fake players
as of
fake money.
As of
fake
literally, right, as of 4 years ago. My point in the entire thread, Travis, was that okay, we have two contracts like this right now. That there's only two contracts, I believe, that I saw. And I went looking for them. One of which has Salinas, who is a 5-star middle reliever, who's 25, 26, making $3 million, $3 million, $3 million, $6 million, $3 million player options. Like, I don't think he's going to accept that player option regardless. And then there's that Bertrand one where he's making $5 million. He makes, like, $5 million, $7.5 million, $7.5 million, $10 million player, $10 million team, $10 million player. Again,
yeah,
I think that contract's going to be picked up.
That's a steal. Well, I don't know. He's 26, 27, so you got him guaranteed for $5 million, $6 million, $7 million, or $5, $6, $6. It's really cheap.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so you get him for his prime. You get him for his year 27, his year 28, and year 29. So now he's going to enter his year 30 at a $10 million team option. You're not going to pick that up. You're not going to pick that up. You're not going to pay, especially because you look at his past history, the guy has never had a war over two, I think, or two and a half. He's got great ratings. He hasn't really done anything on the field. So if he continues on to be a three-war player, you're not going to pay $10 million for a 3-4-war player. He's not worth it. So that is an example where he's going to cut that, he's going to decline that $10 million option, most theoretically, and he's going to save $20 million off his cap that he promised the guy that the guy signed. He's only going to make, what, $18 million, $17 million in 3 years, and then he's going to lose $20 million in the last 2 years. I think the buyout is $2 million, $2 million buyout.
Something like,
but it
it's
should
like
be,
a
it
9
should be
or 10
million.
Or something.
Well, it's a $10 million contract, and the way I understood Josh's proposal is since you can't add a buyout to a player option, that it goes on to the team option. So the team option has to be 20%, which is $2 million on a $10 million contract. Well, now you got to
do this,
so
math, Travis.
Yeah, but now the buyout is $4 million, so Josh has to go in and edit it. So a $4 million buyout.
I think Josh was saying anything that's happened, he's just going to let go. I don't think he's going to go back and retroactively fix contracts when there wasn't a rule in place. But I think that's the rule going forward. If you only have a player option, that's fine. At this point, I see absolutely no player options being added going forward if this is what we're doing, because what's the point?
Using Flaherty for an example,
he signed two contracts, okay? Flaherty finally has money. He gets two player deals, both of which has two-year deals with third-year player options. Basically, Flaherty is just agreeing to what the player is asking for in free agency.
Yeah.
So,
if it's a player option at the end of a contract, that is fine, because the player will most times always ask for a player option, but it's never structured with a team option in front of it. So a player option at the end is fine. That benefits the player, but the way Kevin found it is, it's 100% favors the team. You can cut 2 years off a contract and pay him 10%, 20%.
My only point was I was confused with the player option anyways, because you can do the same thing with the team option. If you stack from what I was told, sweetheart, don't put your necklace in your mouth, okay? If you parenting 101, by the way, for Scotty, just so you need to know, you don't want your daughter putting your necklace in her mouth. But, like, you could, from what I was told, you can do two player options or two team options, have buyouts on both, and if you buy out the first year, it still voids the second year. You don't pay the buyout. So whether it's a player option or a team option, it's the same shit. So I don't know necessarily why they were offering player options, because the buyout versus it was the same shit. So I don't necessarily understand it. Unless the point was, I don't know what the point was. It's the same shit to me, Trav. I mean, I don't know if you see it any differently, but I do know from what I was told that if you buy out the first year on the team option, you don't pay the second year's team option price. And you don't pay off the buyout. So I don't understand. It's pointless, and now there's just another rule. I'm trying to get Josh and Goldie together to try to figure out how to get the rules fucking the same because I'm getting very confused at this point. But my suggestion was just get rid of options altogether. Because what's the point? If we want to make all these rules to protect the player, then just take away team options so then the player doesn't have any problems. That was my suggestion. Because at this point, I don't really care. Options are guaranteed deals. It doesn't matter to me. Now, am I going to use team options? Of course. I like extending players early. But for the most part, I don't know. I guess I just didn't see a big of a rule. I mean, some people like yourself think people are going to try to skirt the rule. Some people, I mean, I didn't see it like that. When I saw those deals, I was like, hey, that's smart. Player option can still decline. But then when I looked into it, it's the same shit. Either way, dude, I just wanted to ask your opinion on it because I didn't think you replied to the thread you started. I don't really see it as a big deal personally. I don't really care what people do, but that's just me. People can do whatever they want to do. However, they're going to sleep better at night. Travis, all these you admitted to signing all these deals. You admitted to signing all these deals, or whatever with your contracts or your bonus options, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think you actually won a title or didn't win a title because of it. I don't think it hampered you or helped you in any sort of a way. So it is what it is, Trav. I mean, you didn't benefit from it. You did not benefit from it. And for those of you who can't tell, Travis's phone call dropped, so I'm just talking randomly again. Oh, man. This has been an absolutely horrible podcast. This is what happens, folks, when you're driving and try to make podcasts happen. You're very... Bless you. This is what happens when you have all these when you're trying to do podcasts and you're driving and you have no service and you're in a different state and you're in Atlanta and you're not from Atlanta. And this is what happens, folks. But, I mean, I just want to get Travis's opinion on it because, again, you know, everyone, as I just mentioned, I really don't think it's a bad thing. I don't care enough to want to put another sanction on the league, personally. But I mean, again, that's just me. I don't see it necessarily as something that's detrimental. I hope that this is the last rule we get for a while, because to be honest, I'm getting confused and just Mickey Mouse. Okay.
No.
Okay, one second, everybody. What do you want? You gonna show me? Right there?
No.
Right there?
No.
This?
No.
This?
No.
This?
No.
What?
I don't know.
Okay. Right here?
No.
Here, I'll hold you for. Everyone, I apologize. What do you want?
Goodbye. Yeah.
This? Okay, go down. Okay. Hopefully, Travis is calling back, and he is. There we go. Travis back online. Basically, what happened was I just held my daughter for 2 minutes and let her direct me what to do. So,
yeah, I figured every time I hang up, it's just you know, trying to parent while you got a phone in your hand.
Well, usually it's not that bad. I mean, that's what's been the glory about the podcast, man. You got someone to lean on, but twice you've hung up on me, dude. So I've been basically everybody heard. So basically, that's everyone heard my daughter basically own my app twice, tell me what to do, which is lovely.
Nice.
No, Daddy, not that show. This show. Hold on, let me get your thing. Cohen likes that show. Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about BFA, Travis. How about that?
All right.
I don't know if you had a chance to listen to mine and Kevin's podcast yet, but we actually did.
I have not.
We were ranking the off-season moves, and obviously, you know, when you trade for a whole bunch of pitching, you're going to be towards the top of the offseason conversation. Obviously, you traded for quite a few good pitchers. You signed Mr. Aguilar. It appears the league is Hayden has the Henby back, so that's always good when the Henby's back. But other than you, Travis, I mean, obviously with my Montanez deal and Hunter trade, that was, we talked about that a little bit. I Orlando traded Tapia Visa. He got it back with him. He signed all his guys' extensions. He'll be there. He has a lot of money tied up. But what kind of – your division's been very active with all that stuff happening. With Birmingham completely signing Ramirez, I thought he overpaid him, but completely paying Arturo Molina $19 million a year. $92 million. A lot of money. I mean, here's the thing. Me and Kevin were talking about it. If you don't got this talent, where do you get this talent from? That's my main thing. We've talked about it for years. It's difficult to give up that kind of money, but if you don't have those players coming to the system, if you have no shot and you want to be good, what do you do? I thought
catcher's a key position, but I'm looking at
Travis. He's at his best season last year was ever last year. Excuse me, his best season ever was last year.
Yeah.
And he had a 4 WAR. So
here's my thing though, and I don't know if anybody else has noticed this in OTP, and it's very much like in real life. Players will have monster years in contract years. And then once they sign a contract, they're going to decline. They're never going to repeat it.
There are some you know, exclusions like there are in any rule. But for the most part, agree, because I think it's one of the reasons why you see a lot of these role players and depth guys have great seasons after signing, you know, one-year deals to be free agents. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they signed a one-year deal with a free agent, and they're putting up a 4 WAR year. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you noticed last year, Kwan, for example. What happened? Ladies and gentlemen, parenting, what happened? Did she hit you? What happened? What happened? Hold on for a second. What happened, sweetheart?
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me. What happened?
For Mikey.
You said, what did you do? You hit Cohen? Did we hit our brother? Talk to me, okay? Lay right here. Lay right here. I'll go get you, Mr. Byron, okay?
I think the little sister is beating up the little brother. Maybe she's watching Mommy and Daddy.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be shocked if that's where she got it from, but no, that's not actually what happened. My daughter loved her to death. I did a podcast with Kevin and didn't have a single problem for 45 minutes with the two. My daughter apparently got mad at my son for changing the channel, so she turned around and hit him in the face. Which is great.
See,
so
that,
great when you have
all that violence and that wrestling you watch.
Yeah, well, he's not the one that does the fighting. It's her who doesn't watch wrestling. So she's just a little aggressive, like her mother, to be honest. But that means,
anyway, yeah. Talking about Birmingham, I just looking at his roster that he had last year. And then just the pieces he added, it's like he's got a lot of money tied up into some not elite players, and he still doesn't have any pitching. I mean,
he did trade for Beanpole. Right.
Which is good. He gave up a shit ton for him.
Thought Billy got the better end of that deal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get two starting pitchers that have potential.
Okay, I actually thought that Robbie got the better end of that deal, but I
for
think
for right now,
quite a bit.
maybe for a year or two.
I actually like the players that Robert sent, but I think that Beanpole's contract is very favorable. So I think that always helps when you get a player in a trade that actually is on a good contract and on a good extension. He has a 6-year extension basically. So while he gave up quality pieces, he's not losing a player in a year or two. But Birmingham's been a very interesting offseason with all their moves. I mean,
I don't think it's kind of.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I thought, though, I get it. You know, we have this conversation a lot in the past because me and you are always in the playoffs, and you get teams who are every year not in the playoffs. They're like, they get impatient, so they're like, okay, now I gotta do some moves. So, but I thought he had a good, you know. I would, if I was him, I would have waited another year or two, at least one more year, before going all in to get some more cash reserve to try to get rid of that Morin contract. That thing is killer. He's still got like three more years on that thing.
Well, yeah, he basically AC on signed
that
big deal with 5 years
left.
No, I
didn't.
Did
you
he
signed
had,
it and traded
when,
it to him?
No, when I would have never given him fucking $156 million over 8 years.
Who signed? I can't remember who had him. Who traded
Ted signed that contract. Okay, the Morin deal. Morin had 2 years left on his contract when I traded him. In return, I got Rocky Anderson, Henson, and Wood, all veterans. And that's the year I actually won my World Series title when I dealt Morin at like 25 or 26. And then he signed him to a 7-year extension, and he got hurt literally the first year of extension. He made the All-Star game, and then got hurt. So he's been on a bad contract for 6 seasons. He signed a big-ass 7-year deal. He signed a seven-year deal before the season was over, so he had him for 8 years. And he literally got hurt, like, after his 15th start. He's been on a bad contract for, like, I mean, he's got hurt again since then.
But he was a good young pitcher. He just, you know, he got hurt and he died quickly. I mean, that's just
He had
more bad luck than
he had two Tommy John traps, two Tommy John injuries. He said it was an overpay, but it's like his contract was 24, 23, like it went down. So it was like, fuck, okay, so you figure in year 16, 17. You're probably thinking like, well, because remember how good he was for me and how it was for Reno. His first year in Jacksonville, he almost won Cy Young. And he was second to Scott Hill. And then that first year of the extension is when he got hurt, or the second year. I don't get two good years there, like two really good years. And then he got hurt. And like you said, the Morin deal's killer. I mean, the Molina deal's huge, and then you still, after Molina, you still give Ramirez $19 million over 4 years or 3 years. So, I mean, you really have three guys making $70 million. Or $60 million, which is a lot.
That's a lot.
I mean, the thing is with him is when do you make your move? If I laughed when I saw you didn't make the playoffs. I was like, okay, so his team will be completely different next year. Like, I just knowing you, I knew your team, you weren't going to just sit there. No matter what you had to do, whether it was getting elite talent or just getting rental guys, you weren't going to just sit there with a team you had. But at that point for him, like, what does he do? I mean, Orlando's not going to be bad for a while. Orlando's going to be good for a while. It's funny because I was actually talking to Kevin about this. I think New Orleans, for as good as his team was, he made two different playoff series. He completely built his team. And really, at all these 91 seasons, he has two playoff appearances to show for it, which is crazy for me because New Orleans was very good for a very long time.
It should be already booked. It should be here in the time of paid. It should be prepaid.
Not sure what Travis is doing right now.
Or any. Look at the date.
Travis.
They're all non-smoking, right?
I think Travis is checking into a hotel room.
And I got these left there. It's on fire already. Last week.
See that, folks? Travis is ordering a suite. Big baller status. Anyways, to me, when you're a team like Birmingham and you need to make a lot of moves, you really don't have a lot of options based on who's in your division. You can only make deals with the options that are available to you. This was the best option. I think he overpaid for a lot of his parts. But again, what else are you going to do? What exactly are you going to, you know, when exactly are you going to try to make your run? Because he's at the point now where it's a do or die point for him. It's make or break point for him. It's basically at the point where you have to do something. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast a little bit early today. It was just probably one of our worst podcasts ever, and I don't necessarily blame Travis myself. I really just think that, you know, it worked out really well yesterday or last week with all this stuff going on, but unfortunately, it just was not a very good podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I really do apologize. I can promise you, though, that tomorrow or Wednesday, we'll get right back at it, and we'll do the best we can. There wasn't a lot of BSA talk, and again, I apologize. This is one of our worst podcasts in a very long time. But neither Travis nor I really were attention-free today. So this pod damage, it is what it is. I apologize. We'll get at it in the next couple of days and try to redo this thing. All right, everybody.